feedback before you this morning. I appreciate the song from Brother Kenny and Brother Kurt. I appreciate the folks again at Blue Ridge Baptist Church giving us the privilege that they have this morning. Mr. Hayden that's on the sound machine that's taking care of all this live feed. Thank God for young people. I have no idea what to do in a place such as this. And then we've come in here this morning, got a new place to stand. The Lord's blessed them with a new platform. They've been able to do some remodeling. I'm just excited about what the Lord's doing here. Looking forward to their people coming back and seeing what God's made anew and afresh. It'll be a joy for all of us. It'll be an encouragement and a help. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. It's one of my favorite places in Scripture to preach, and I'm not preaching it because it's my favorite place, but it's this morning, I believe it'd be where the Lord would have us to be. So I want you to give attention to that, but I also would like to say this morning, welcome, Pleasant View. It sure is good to see you. I want you to know that I miss you and I love you. So, preacher, it's Facebook. I just want them folk to know they've got a place special in my heart. I'm looking forward to when this band's lifted and we can gather together. Matter of fact, I'm trying to devise a way in my mind and my heart to get something worked out before we meet 10 minutes over yonder or 10 minutes over here or somewhere. I'm missing my people. I am. I'm missing the choir singing. I'm missing the special singing, Sunday school hour. I'm just missing it all. It's hard on a preacher in this time. So I want to say this to you before we preach. Make sure you call somebody. Check on them. Church members, call your preacher and encourage him in this time. He sure does need that. And preachers, call your church member and encourage them in this hour. They need it as well. But let's take heed this morning and look to the Word of God together. I'll not be real long before you, but I do have something on my heart this morning. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, let's begin reading in verse number 1, I'm glad for the word and. That means that there's a continuation of something that it took place prior to that. So let's look. And the Bible said, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Thank God somebody showed us kindness for somebody else's sake. Glad that the Lord has, ain't you, this morning? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness unto God, unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake, Jonathan thy father's sake. And will restore thee and all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look as such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto the master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. Have thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that the Lord, the king, hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. For as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. Lord, we bow this morning for this portion of Scripture that has been read. I pray, Lord, that You'd plant it into the ears of each hearer, and then, Lord, that it grow and find a lodging place in the heart of the believer and the unbeliever. I pray, God, that You'd speak to both this morning. I pray that You'd do a draw, and Lord, that only You can, Lord, to realize that salvation does not lie within me. It doesn't lie in the preaching, but Lord, salvation is of the Lord. And I ask You this morning that You'd do a work in Facebook land. Lord, that You'd touch each heart and change lives. And Lord, I pray this morning for that child of God that You'd encourage and help him or her as they journey in this walk of life. Lord, we realize that as things have been quarantined, Your love has not, Your mercy has not, Your grace has not, but Lord, it's still able to reach unto the uttermost parts. And I ask You this morning, Lord, that You'd do a work in the lives of these, and we'll be careful to give You thanks, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look with me this morning. Last night, I began studying and had several thoughts on my mind, and I'd like to read to you. Brother Travis Howard had a song up that he was listening to that was a tape back in 1987. I believe it was by the Kingsman Quartet, and they were singing this old song, and this is where the Lord just gave me the title for my message. I was looking for that. I want to read you those songs. I want to read you the lyrics of the song. It says, "Have you made your preparation for the banquet He's prepared? When you get your invitation, promise me that you'll be there. Can't you hear the Master say, 'Friend, it's time to celebrate. Meet me at the table just inside the gate. Meet me at the table at the breaking of bread. Meet me over yonder where the millions will be fed. Come and join the celebration. Heaven's wedding bells will ring. Meet me at the table of the King. Now there's a way that you can make it. Though old Satan says don't try, make that promise, then don't break it. Then you'll meet me by and by. Keep your lamps all trimmed and burning with no shadow for a doubt. For the bridegroom is returning. Don't let your lamp go out." Let me remind you of the chorus. "Meet me at the table at the breaking of bread. Meet me over yonder where the millions will be fed. Come and join the celebration. Heaven's wedding bells will ring. Meet me at the table of the King." Amen. I want to preach on this thought this morning. How will you meet me at the table of the King? I want you to notice this morning in your Bible. Again, it's only 13 verses, so a preacher can't preach but so much out of 13 verses of Scripture. But I want you to notice, first of all, I want you to notice Mephibosheth's family. I want you to know something down here in the South, friend. But again, to think about this, Brother Kerr, as we was writing down some things, a person's family will tell you a lot about them. If the person has the wrong family heritage, it'll cause some social standings here in where we live. One of the first things you're going to do when you begin to meet somebody, you want to know who their mama and who their daddy is. Or you want to know who grandma and grandpa is. You want to begin to find out something about them, and whether we like to admit it or not, we're judged by our families. Whether we like it or whether we don't, we're known as we're known. But can I say to you this morning, just because you come up in a disgraced family, it does not mean that you have to stay that way. Somebody believes in the doctrine of predestination. You say, "What do you do?" I'll just go ahead and give it to you this morning. I believe all are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I believe every boy, girl, man, or woman can be changed in this walk of life. Amen. I believe every sinner can become a saint. I believe every person ever born into this world can experience the grace of God. Amen. Titus 2:11 said, "But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Thank God for that this morning. It's a universal gospel. Friend, if it had not, I know where I'd be. Just because of my family background, I'd never had many people to give me a chance in this walk of life. But I'm glad to report unto you this morning, it's not in how that I've been brought up, but thank God it's in whom I've trusted. I want you to realize this morning, morning, I want you to notice Mephibosheth's family. Notice with me in verse number 1, I want to show you that it was a disgraced family. And notice the Bible said, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I want you to realize this morning, friend, Saul was a hated man. Saul's life had changed. He had been born into a family that had been rejected by God. I want you to remind you in 1 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, thou hast also has the Lord rejected thee. That's what the word of God says. I want you to realize Mephibosheth couldn't help who he was born into this world. But he was born into a disgraced family. The family that was once in power were now out of favor with God and man. There was a time on earth when, friend, I want you to realize, go all the way back to Adam. He was walking with the Lord. He was in the perfect place, in the perfect garden without sin. Sin come in, and because of the first Adam, sin has come all the way down to every man, woman, boy, a girl that's been birthed into the womb of a woman. Job said it well. Job said a man that's born of a woman has a few days and full of trouble. I want you to know this morning you have a disgraced family because you've been born into iniquity. David said, in my mother's womb was I created into iniquity. But I also want you to realize not only was it a disgraced family, but it was a doomed family. All the descendants of Saul had been earmarked by death. If you study your Bible, you'll find in 2 Samuel, chapter number 3, David was going by and purging Saul's sons one after another. He was killing them off because David was to be the next king of Israel. You say, but preacher, I thought David loved Jonathan. Jonathan was already out of the scene. David kept his covenant with Jonathan, and he lived how he ought to live by it. He stood by it. He lived by it. He walked by it. Can I say to you this morning, Mephibosheth was a descendant of Saul. He was also doomed to die. By all right, Mephibosheth should have died with the other sons of Saul so that he would not be a threat to the upcoming king. I want you to realize this morning we're born under the curse of sin. This morning, every person who is born into this world is born to die. We don't like to hear that, but I want you to realize you are. And may I say unto you, the most important thing that you can do in this walk of life is be prepared to die. It might be one thing you might think you know how to live, friend, but I got to tell you, there's a day coming where death is coming. You better know how to die. I'm reminded of a little girl how she grew up and her mama taught her all the little things. She told her how to fix her hair, brush her teeth, to walk and to talk, and she finally got up to 16 years old and she wanted her driver's license, and her mama took her down the road, taught her how to drive. And one day that little girl said, Mama, I said, won't you let me go down to the store by myself? Said, Mama, I grew up big and tall. I said, Mama, I know how to live. Said, you showed me how to drive. Said, I'll be extra careful. That little girl took off, went down the highway. After she left the store, she made her way back. And within 200 yards of their house, how the little girl for some reason made a mistake and hit the gas instead of the brakes. She ran into an oak tree and she died. But just prior to her dying, her mama ran out to where she was. And the little girl looked up at her and she said, Mama, you taught me how to put on my makeup. Mama, you taught me how to brush my teeth. Mama, you taught me how to drive. Mama, you taught me everything that there is to do. Mama, you taught me how to be a good moral person. But Mama, I'm about to die and you haven't taught me how to die. Can I say to you this morning, Facebook world, you better know how to die. If you want to die right, you better live right in this walk of life. Can I say to you, not only was it a doomed family, but it was a destitute family. The Bible tells us in verse number 4 that he was living in a place called Lodibar. If you study that out, it means a place of no pasture. It also means that he was of the house of Machir, which means to be sold. Can I say to you this morning, friend, Mephibosheth was living in poverty and in want. He had a desire to get out of what he was in, but he couldn't do anything about it. That's many of us today. Consider, oh, Mephibosheth Mephibosheth this morning. He was dropped by his nurse when he was 5 years old, and that was the reason he was lame on both of his feet. Honey, if you go back and study why she was fleeing, you'll understand and why that Mephibosheth is of a doomed race. He was a man who was in a desperate situation. He was a man that was missing the best that life had to offer. And the human family is in a destitute condition as well. Yeah, man, we are in a place of no pasture. We're in a place of where we're sold under our sins. We're in a place this morning of where we need a redeemer because we cannot redeem ourselves. Yeah, man. Friend, I want you to know something. All have come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is short people this day, friend. We're of a small stature. And we need to get born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I want you to realize this morning, how Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter number 2 and verse number 12. He said that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But thank God he didn't stop in chapter 2 and verse number 12, but he wrote on in chapter number 2 and verse number 13. He said, but you were made now by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God this morning, church, not only are we a doomed family, a destitute family, but thank God Mephibosheth was in a desired family. Thank God there was a king up in heaven. Had a preach right there. There was a king up in Jerusalem that was concerned about a little boy that was down in the land of Lodibar. He was concerned about a fellow by the name of Machir that had sold out his family. Thank God there's still some folks that's on the throne that's concerned about you and I. I'm glad that the Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father this morning, still ever living to make intercession for you and I, looking out over the banisters of glory this morning, loving you that's tuned in on Facebook, loving you that's able to meet in the church house this morning, loving you, friend, that's on your way to hell, loving you that are saved by the grace of God. You cannot escape the love of God this morning, friend. If you go to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, in verse 8, in verse 31 down through 38, you'll find that there are 17 things that cannot separate you from the love of God. The number 17 that's found in the Bible is the number of victory. I'm glad this morning, church, we've got victory. I'm glad that he's a desired family. And man, I want you to realize this morning, you'll know why he's a desired for the family. It's found in verse number 1. He did it for another's sake. I'm glad this morning, God, for Christ's sake, that man has loved me and you. I'm glad that he loved you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his Son that the world shall be saved. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And man, thank God that he loved us. And when we come short, you say, preacher, how do you know? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Honey, I'm glad this morning I'm a desired family. You say, why? Because of the grace of God. A grace that is greater than all our sins. Can I say to you this morning, friend, he loved us. Now it may not thrill your soul to have it may not thrill your soul to have the Bible. But can I say to you this morning, it's a thrill. It's a thrill to get your name called out as a sinner. Amen. I remember that place. I remember when the Lord began to deal with me. I'm glad that he convicted me. I'm glad that he drew me unto himself. Mark 2 and 17 says, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Ain't you glad, friend, he come to where your sin sick soul was? I rescued you and brought you out. I'm glad I'm part of the desired family this morning. Can I also say to you, not only Mephibosheth's family, but I'd like for you to look at Mephibosheth's friend. I notice in verses 1 through 4 that Mephibosheth Mephibosheth had a friend that sought him. Amen. Notice with me, he sought him in verse number 4 down there. David sought him out. Brother Poncho, I thought about that. David had a care for him like none other. And David sent his servants, Brother Kirk, all the way down into the land of Lodibar. And I was going to study how to see exactly how far that is. But I'll say this to you. If he had to go to the ends of the world, he would have went to where Mephibosheth was. I don't care how low your valley is, he'll find you. I don't care how dark it is. Don't care how dry it is. But friend, he'll come to where you are. Somebody said, well, when I get near enough, I'll go to him. Honey, you'll never get that good. But can I tell you, in your sorry, rotten state that you live in, he'll come to where you are. And he loves you so much, he won't let you stay in that shape. But he'll draw you unto himself and take you with him to change your life for all eternity. Can I say this morning, he sought him out. But Brother Kirk, I thought about as that chariot was heading down to the land of Lodibar, I thought that old Mephibosheth heard a horse and some wheels of a chariot turning. And he'd look out there and somebody said, well, I said it ought to be the war chariot. Honey, thank God it should have been. It should have been the war chariot with some man driving that thing and another one with his bow and arrow in his hand how to go kill old Mephibosheth. But somebody said, look, I said, that's the king's chariot. Every man, I'm glad when the Lord come to rescue my soul, he didn't send the war chariot, but he sent the chariot down. You say, preacher, ain't no difference of chariots in the Bible. You read in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was in command, they knew he was second in command by the chariot that he rode in. Mephibosheth knew when that chariot showed up at his house, honey, that it was not the war chariot, but that somebody sought him. Can I say to you this morning, I'm glad, as the old song says, that he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, victory in Jesus. Honey, we ought to sing that with power and with glory and unction like we used to. Can I say to you this morning, not only did he sought him, but he sent for him. I want you to realize, friend, he sent for somebody who was in the place of death, defeat, disgrace, and doom. And he wanted him. I ain't never figured out why the Lord does what he does, Brother Kirk. There's many, matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus does all things well. But the Lord himself is not a real good horse trader. He takes somebody like me and you in our muckness, in our mireness, in our sin, and trade out his darling son and give us eternal life. I hadn't quite figured that out yet. And I'll say something to you. It wasn't Mephibosheth's idea. Amen. It wasn't his idea to get out of Lodibar. He was happy laying down there, half dead, half dead man doomed. But he must have been terrified when the soldiers come of the king. Surely he feared the worst. Surely he did. But can I say to you this morning, I'm glad the Lord sent one of his servants and brought me out. Jesus said, when I go away, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send another comforter. Don't worry about that word, another. It's the same, means another, means of the same kind. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost came, that he might teach us and lead us and guide us into things to go. Can I say this? Not only did he seek him, not only did he sought him, not only did he send for him, but honey, thank God he spoke to him. Amen. That thrilled my soul. Now, Paco, it's one thing to send somebody to go get you, but it's another thing when the king goes to talking to you. Amen. I'm of a privileged kind this morning. I'm glad that he woke me up this morning, that he spoke to me, that he talked to me, that he's loved me. Amen. I feel like old Mephibosheth this morning when I rolled over. Lord, why would you talk to such a dead dog as me? But I'm reminded. He said, you remember when Jesus went to Calvary. Honey, it was for you. It was for the world. Raise up your head. Lift up your redemption. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. I remember how I felt when I faced the Lord for the first time. Don't you? I was terrified. The first time I ever heard his voice, I didn't go running to him. I was kind of like Adam. For I said I was naked and I hid myself from him. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't come running to him. Very few people get saved when they get the first time they get called. But can I say to you, you ought to. If he deals
with you. If it's the first time, don't shun him. Don't turn him away. But can I say to you, if he spoke to you for the first time, he's a coming. He's wanting to talk to you again. Listen to the voice and see what you'll do to him. Not only did he speak to him, but notice in verse number 7, he spared him. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, how you know he spared him? Because he didn't leave him in Lodibar. He said, you're going to my table where there's going to be bread continually. Amen. Anytime you're reading scripture, you'll find, amen, listen to me. Anytime you're reading scripture and find the word table, it is a picture and a type of fellowship. I'm glad that the Lord's got a great big table. And I believe at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's already a place there with my placemat on it, with my chair there. Friend, because I'm a-going there to the supper. I've done been bidden. I've done accepted the invitation. I've done RSVP'd back. I'm a-going by the good grace of God. Can I say to you this morning, friend, he extended kindness and restoration, and not only that, provision. Can I say to you that every hell-bound sinner who will come to the Lord will be saved. His sins will be forgiven. His sentence stricken from the books and his future changed. And his destiny forever. Can I say to you this morning, we're not sinners but saints. Amen. Somebody, I can't argue with the point of sinners saved by grace. But I want you to know when we pass from death unto life. Can I say this morning, we're just not separated, but we are the sons of God. Amen. John 1 and 12. Them that believed on his name, amen, we have made them to become the sons of God. We find ourselves brought into the family of God by God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to notice Mephibosheth's family, Mephibosheth's friend, but I'd also like to show you Mephibosheth's future. Look with me in verse number 13. I believe it is, and I'll finish out the remainder part of the chapter. The Bible said Mephibosheth had dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both feet. Can I say to you this morning, here's a man that left the poor house and went to the king's palace. Yeah, man, you say, preacher, you really don't believe it. I believe, friend, he rolled up to the table just as Joab did, as Absalom did. I believe, friend, he rolled up to the table of King David every day of his life. He was taken from nothing and given everything. He was given a new place in life. So it is with the child of God. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also in my, amen. If you believe in me, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. Can I say to you this morning, friend, his future endeavored a new place. But can I say this? Not only did he get a new place, but Brother Kirk, he got a new provision. He was, amen. Now listen, old David turned and gave to Ziba the land that would have been Mephibosheth's, and he said, till the land, grow the fruit, grow the crops. But can I tell you, friend, he was not going to eat of what came out of that field. But thank God, friend, amen, a child of God, you don't have to eat from the things that come from this world, but you can feast from manna that's on high. Somebody said in John chapter 6, that it's written this way, he said, you did eat the manna that was in the wilderness, and your fathers are dead. He said, but Jesus said, I am the living bread. He that eateth of me shall never hunger or thirst again. Can I say to you this morning, I'm glad that there's a new provision. Can I say this to you, friend? When old Mephibosheth was slid up under the king's table, nobody saw his lameness anymore. And man, he looked like every other normal individual sitting around it. I'm glad this morning, friend, to report unto you, when I got into the family of God, nothing changed about my look. But I want you to know, friend, there's coming a day when I'm going to sit down at the table with the king. I'm going to sit down with some of his chiefest servants. That man, I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb because of what he did. He's to live as he was a king's son. Thank God for him. I'm just going, somebody said, you'll have to wait till you get to heaven. I want you to know something, friend, you can have. You can have a little heaven to go to heaven in down here. Man, the Lord has blessed us and give us an opportunity to come to his table. But can I say this morning? Not only did he get a new place and he got a new provision, but he got a new parent. You say, what do you mean? I want you to think about this for just a minute. Among all the things this man got, he got a new relationship with King David. I mean, boy, got it right. The king was his enemy in the morning, but by nightfall, hallelujah, he was rolled up under the king's table. That's the way it is with a sinner, friend. I want you to know something. You can be at odds with God this morning, and 5 minutes later, you can be one of his children. Your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Honey, listen to me this morning. The king's still passing by. He's still aspiring people and fetching people out of Lodabar and giving them a hope and a change for all eternity. Can I say to you this morning, he changes everything when he comes to calling. There are many things, listen to me, there are many things I've figured out in this walk of life. But there's one thing I know for certain. Everything changes when the king comes calling. Everything changes when the king sends a servant. Everything changes. Have you made your preparation for the banquet? He's prepared. When you get your invitation, promise me that you'll be there. Can you hear the master say, friend, it's time to celebrate. Meet me at the table just inside the gate. Meet me at the table at the breaking of bread. Meet me over yonder where the millions will be fed. Come and join the celebration. Heaven's wedding bells will ring. Meet me at the table of the King. Now there's a way that you can make it. Through old Satan says, don't try. Make that promise, then don't break it. Then you'll meet me by and by. Keep your lamps all trimmed and burning with no shadow of doubt. For the bridegroom is returning. Don't let your lamp grow out. Meet me at the table at the breaking of bread. Meet me over yonder where the millions will be fed. Nearly 26 years ago, friend, I accepted a call at the door. It wasn't by the servant on the war chariot, but he came to where I was. Brought me up out of the land of Lodibar, the land of no hope, the land of no peace, the land of no pasture, the land of no future. And he brought me to Jerusalem and sat me down at the king's table. He delivered me from sin and condemnation. He gave me a new beginning, friend. And I'll say this to you. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. He longs to do the same for you. Some of you have never been saved this morning. If you die, you'll go to hell. Lodibar will be a good place for the... Hey, man, listen to me. Lodibar would have been an easy place. Hell is a place this morning that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never intended for you. Although, according to Scripture, it's being enlarged day by day. Don't you be another number. Don't you be another statistic. Sinner friend, I'm asking you, as the Lord is coming to your Lodibar to pick you up, he sent his servant this morning to call you to his palace. What will you do with the call this morning? Everything changes when the king comes knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will answer, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. We're hiding this morning, friend. We're hiding our poor, weak, lame, and fearful before the king. There's some of us this morning that we are the children of God. Amen, we are. We know we've been saved. But let's just be honest. We've left Jerusalem. We've left the house of bread or the place of worship. And we've itched back down to Lodibar. We're in a place of where we're not enjoying fellowship with the Lord at His table like we once did. Child of God, this morning I want to encourage you.
to come back. So, preacher, how do you know he'll let me come back? If he'll let the prodigal come back after all the mess he got himself into in a far country, he'll let you come back this morning. If you'll come, repent, ask him to forgive you, he'll do that. Can I remind you again, the writer of Proverbs says it this way. He said, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall obtain mercy. But the Bible also says in that same verse, in the first part of it, that whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. Can I say this morning, and I'm done, our King sought us out before we sought Him. The King's kindness is extended to us for another sake. The King's kindness is based on a covenant. So what covenant is that? The Davidic covenant. But I'm glad that Jesus gave us a new and better covenant according to the writing of Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
The King returns to us. The King returns to us more than we are, more than we deserve. We've had the privilege of provision at the King's table. The King's honor does not immediately take away our weakness or our lameness. Amen. But it gives us favor and a standing that overcomes its sting and changes the way we think about ourselves. Let's remember here at Facebook Land, we that are saved by the grace of God, let's remember we're David. We should seek out our enemies and seek to bless them. We should look out for the poor, the weak, the lame, and the hidden and try to help them along life's way. We should bless others when they don't deserve it and bless them more than they deserve. We'd be right honest, we're blessed a lot more than we deserve this morning. We should bless others for the sake of someone else. You want to do something during this coronavirus outbreak? Let's help somebody else that's struggling with fear. Let's spread our faith and show them that we can overcome in this walk of life. The Bible said that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Again, may the Lord greatly bless you. I pray right where you are, if the Lord's convicted you, that you call on Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and be born again. Then find you somebody you can talk to about it. Get in a good Bible-believing church once this quarantine is lifted. Amen. Don't be ashamed of it. Spread the good news. People say, well, you can't get saved on Facebook. Sure you can. God's everywhere. He's not limited. Amen. He's not. He's able to move in and do a work that you and I cannot do. Can I say this, child of God, repent and get right so that when it comes time to get back together, we'll be on fire and do something for the glory of God. Amen. I love you. Thank you for the privilege to stand before you. May the Lord bless you in the days to come.